On the mega screen, bloody murder played out in classic black and white for an audience of 107. With a sharp screech of violins, violas, and cellos, that number dropped by one. Unlike the character of Marion Crane, Chanel Ryan didn't scream or flail at the shock of violent death. In row 27 in Theater 3 of Vid Galaxy, in New York City's Times Square, she let out little more than a mouse squeak as the ice pick plunged into the back of her neck. Her body gave one quick jerk, her hands batted at the air and upended the mini bucket of popcorn in her lap. Her last breath escaped like a long sigh. She died in the dark as blood circled back down the drain on the screen. No one noticed. With all eyes, all attention riveted to the screen, no one noticed the killer slip into the aisle and walk away from dark deeds. That's literally the opening from J.D. Robb's newest, Dark in Death. I wonder sometimes why we are so drawn to series fiction, and this is series fiction indeed. It's number 46 in the J.D. Robb series. For me, it's a real smorgasbord. Series fiction, that is, that runs from the fiction of Helen McGinnis to Dorothy Gilman, from Stephen Saylor to, yes, J.D. Robb. What is it that brings me back time and again to these favorite authors? Is it the characters whom I come to find interesting and want as part of my imaginary life? Yes. Is it the adventures I can have through their fictional lives? Yes. And more, as another reviewer has noted, quote, I keep expecting, after nearly 50 books, that there's going to be a gradual decline. How can anyone, even a serious professional author, i.e. J.D. Robb, keep writing stories with punch to keep me turning pages, to make me want to read every single page? It's like I'm waiting for a dud. And while there have been a couple that I didn't like as well as others, there has been no dud, no crash and burn, no steady decline, and mostly, I get a book like Dark and Death, which goes near the top of my favorites in the series. This is book 46 in the series, and it was even better than many of the more recent ones. It was like some kind of mojo that was lost in the middle somewhere and came roaring back in for this book. End quote. It's that kind of series that keeps pulling us back. A few months ago, I reviewed one of the many books by Clive Cussler and said much the same things. It's hard not to read these books the way we eat popcorn, just one after another, after another, after another. At least if we like the characters, we like the plots, we like the settings. We just like to read about these people and their adventures. And now the story, the adventure, as our series continues in what is now episode 46, the year is 2085. Automobiles can hover, and moving sidewalks are not a so unusual part of at least the interior of buildings. In New York City, kind of hard to have those in the middle of winter outside. But human personalities, our joys, our fears, our desires, haven't changed much, if at all. And the crime world in 2085 is as pernicious as ever. As we heard with our story opening, a young woman is killed while watching a young woman is killed while watching Psycho, the vintage Alfred Hitchcock film, during a movie marathon in a lesser known movie theater in the heart of this future New York City. The murder is quick, silent. The killer using the famous shower scene and it screams to muffle the victim's own scream so that the murder is not discovered until the victim's friend returns from an emergency, bogus, phone call from the vet clinic where she works. The New York City police are called, and Detective Eve Dallas's evening plans with her romance cover husband are put on hold again. And we're off once again with Detective Eve Dallas, this time embarking on a rough-and-tumble ride into the clothing and couture world of New York. A different kind of urban New York City that I enjoyed visiting. Obviously, Robb has done her homework on the who and the what and the why of the clothing world, allowing one of her minor recurring characters to carry the storyline here and painting a, yeah, I can see that happening, series of events that pull her and Eve Dallas deeper and deeper into the deranged mind of the murderer. A woman whose skill with clothing allows her to take revenge after she is so deeply embarrassed by her publicly failed writing career, using her clothing skills to develop alternate public personas that give her free rein for far too many killings before the cops catch on to her scheming and her skill. As Eve Dallas and her team follow one false lead after another, they seesaw between keen anticipation and angry frustration, coming to realize that the murderer they are tracking is not a foolish criminal, but instead a devious, cold-hearted planner of their crimes. Without giving too much of the final run of Dark and Death's plot, let me note that once Detective Dallas and the team realize that the killer is acting out her own interpretation of a best-selling author, and of course, Eve Dallas's personal friend, they finally zero in on the next likely target for death, and while they stumble even in guessing who was marked for death yet again, they pull out all the stops when they discover their mistake, and even as they keep us readers on the edge of our seats, they save at least one life in the process. This being series fiction, the ongoing characters are as important as the storyline that motivates this particular episode. And, this being a novel set some decades into the futuristic technology woven into the story, and indeed into the series, is supportive, not intrusive. The writing is successful at letting us believe that our heroine not only has a lead foot, but knows how to make the most of her hover car's abilities to slip into tight urban parking spaces with gut-wrenching skill. As I noted earlier, Dallas has assembled a smart and savvy team around her. Her perky, hard-working, fashion-forward assistant, Peabody, whose snappy and sassy comebacks highlight Dallas's so very serious, ever hard-boiled demeanor. And the supporting cast of quirky, wisecracking, but loyal detectives who know how to take the initiative as well as direction while they're on the hunt. Guys who are wearing loud ties, crazy socks, and a cowboy hat. It's all part of the job. And let's not forget Dallas's husband, Rourke, whom we came to know earlier in the author's novels, a suave, debonair, and filthy rich Irishman who has pivoted from a life of elite crime and now uses those hard-earned insights and hunches for the solving of crimes, even as he administers a far-flung business empire that takes him for day-long jaunts to Europe, to Asia, North and South America, strategically intervening in business deals and business enterprises. The speedy transportation options posited in this near-future novel allow him to jet off at dawn and return home by night that same day. There is a real, sometimes comic, sometimes much more serious edge to Eve and her husband's relationship that keeps this husband and wife team interesting, even after so many installments of the series. And Rob's trademark juxtaposition of the nitty-gritty of the crime and the crime scene contrasted with the cushy life of the urban wealth that Detective Dallas enjoys with her husband offer a pleasant running experience for readers in this popular series. Yes, New York City is less a character in this novel than a convenient setting for it. As I followed the story's course, I found it easy to imagine myself plunged into almost any large city as the plot unfolds, the vast network of streets, the quirky one-of-a-kind neighborhoods, and the plethora of different types, sizes, and attitudes of the characters we meet speak as much to urban world today as it does to New York City in particular. And yet, if you enjoy J.D. Robb, her characters, the many exciting adventures they get into, this is yet another great experience awaiting your reading pleasure. I hope you'll pick up J.D. Robb's newest, Dark in Death, episode number 46 from this prolific author. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, as well as, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.